Welcome back. This podcast is scheduled for one fall. With a 60-minute time limit coming out of the black corner at a combined weight of 666 pounds, recorded to you from the Ocean Gate Titan. I'm your boy, Xander Hobbs. This is
Bobby, the Threads Beast B.
You damn right. And once again, we're bringing another edition of the WrestleOcalypse.
It is upon us.
Booyah. It is upon us indeed. And once again, we've got a lot of wrestling. So what did you want to start with? Money in the Bank, Dynamite?
No, number one thing. This episode is titled, He Ain't That Guy. And guess what? Jungle Boy is not that guy.
Oh, that's
yes. The heel turn was great. It's what everybody wanted until the guy came out and tried to cut a heel promo. You need to go back, get on some dark episodes, try to work that out. Nobody believes you're actually banging the hottest bitches in the arena. The glasses and the wink. I mean, is this what we're doing now? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, man. The part where he said he's banging the hottest chick in the thing, that was just like, I was like, man, that is so trite. Nobody even cares. No one cares. There was silence. That's never good, especially for a brand new heel turn. It's like, it's, and then poor Hook, because they really cooled him down.
Yeah.
Remember when he used to come out and the crowd used to become unglued?
Yeah. Now they cooled him off basically also because they didn't make him do anything new, right?
That's true. He's just squashing people.
Right. And I wonder how much of his dad plays into that, right?
That's true. Very
true. But going back to Jungle Boy, also, like, he came out looking like Christian Cage.
Yeah.
It's like, and, you know, we talk a lot about it. Like, there's nuance to this. Yes, it is over the top and it's wrestling and we get it. But like, he was so far over the top, it wasn't even believable. It wasn't even like, it didn't resonate.
That's what I mean. It's like, is he going to be a believable heel?
No.
He's not. The answer is no. And I don't know what AEW is doing. It's getting close to becoming very unwatchable for me. And I've been carrying the AEW flag since its inception. So they got to do something. They got to do something quick because they're losing my attention.
Yeah, because like, what, seriously, their best wrestlers are tied up in the never-ending feud. Atreo's not even involved in it. It's not even a good story. And now we've like brought in fucking the Dark Order's involved now. And then like, we've got like Eddie Sprinkles of Kingston around here. And he's the new Strong Open Champion, right?
Yes.
And obviously, since we're going on tangents, what the fuck, John Moxley? Like, the shit in his head?
Oh, yeah, the skewers or whatever those things were. That, like I said, man, I'm a big fan of John Moxley, but not lately. Dude. Not with him bleeding 24/7. Not with, like, this. I just don't like it. I'm sorry. This had legs to be a good feud, but, like, it's turning into not stuff that's not good.
No, I mean, it's typical Tony Khan. Go back in the archives, as much as we always pumped AEW and love AEW, Tony Khan runs feuds into the fucking ground. Like,
yeah, when he's not booking them backwards,
turns them into glue. Even if he does book them backwards, you got to go through like 12, and they're not like, it's not like nuanced long term storytelling, character development, all these great things. He's done that. We've seen that. But that's not what these have been.
He's done it one time, and the rest of his track record is not very good. So we can't be resting on the laurels. But anyways, before I turn into this, a Tony Khan burial. Yes, I see that you put the Daniel Garcia and Vikingo. Those are two guys were the stars of this trios match. That was a trios, right?
Yeah, it was like, and Daniel Garcia is really good.
He's good, but he's boring.
I mean, it's like they just make him do the same thing. But it's like, I'd rather see, like, again, he's a good in-ring worker.
Right.
So we can put him with something like Vikingo. They can have a good match I will enjoy, regardless of whether I'm interested in that other stuff, right? So I guess that's a good one. This week's Dynamite, I thought they made Britt Baker look really good. She came out in the pink in honor of Owen. Even though she got, you know, overrun by the crap casts.
Yeah, that's bad. Like, I'm waiting for Jamie Hayter to come back to save this thing and end it just
well, I think everybody is. And the problem is they'd already made it go too long and had done too much before she got injured, right? Like,
yeah.
The payoff was there earlier where they could have had Britt Baker turn on Hayter, right? Like,
oh, they had it right there. That story wrote itself and they just blew it. Like, they did. Like, Britt Baker, she's good. She's good as a face, but she's just worked so much better as a heel. And that storyline would have been gold.
Yeah, it would have. I liked the Kenny Omega and Yuta match, though. Apparently Yuta injured a hamstring. We won't see him probably until Blood and Guts. And then they brought in all that shit with Kingston and Dark Order at the end and yada, yada, yada.
Let's talk about a high point of Dynamite on Wednesday. And that's the Strange Bedfellows tag team of MJF and Adam Cole, baby. And how funny was that entrance? And then them at the gym. But let's go about the entrance first. Let's talk about them in the entrance.
Dude, just the entrance and MJF, how he the shorts he was wearing, everything about it. And if you're online IWC, you know, part of the thing leading up to this was MJF was getting in on Adam Cole's Twitch streams. He donated to Adam Cole and said, hey, let's get some matching gear to help with chemistry. But the way he walked, the way MJF came down, he did the bay thing. Yeah. Oh, it was just fucking great. Then he ran around
everything
was so good.
MJF is good at like overselling the babyface character because we all know what's going to happen next. But like, this is the thing, which like, even if it's predictable, you can still make it good. And what they like, MJF's title reign has been lukewarm, but him doing what they're telling him and this thing with Adam Cole is working out for the better.
Yeah. And I think Adam Cole and him, it's an appropriate, like, I just don't think Allen is there. I don't think Jungle, obviously you heard the fire I was spitting earlier. Jungle Boy's certainly not there. And neither is Guevara. Like,
I mean,
Adam Cole is
the closest of all the pillars that be there, but go ahead.
Darby, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with that. But like Adam Cole is over with the crowd. Like he's been over since he came in and like he's really good in the ring and he's loves pro wrestling and they're similar sizes, right? It's like they look good. It looks good in the ring and they can do well. So I think that Adam Cole can go a long way to carrying MJF in a different way than like MJF's feud with like Chris Jericho.
Right.
You know? Because of the age and Chris Jericho and just who he is. So I'm excited about that. I liked the Keith Lee and Swerve teaming up against Darby Allin and Orange Cassidy as a match. I like they got, you know.
Yeah, the Strange Bedfellows thing or whatever they're calling it, the blindfold tag gimmick schnabitz, whatever, is pretty cool. Like I like it. The matches are good. So that's a high point. They like tournaments and I do too. So I don't want to just turn this into AW burial, but nope. They are doing some good things.
Yeah. And like, you know, they weren't featured, but they have a lot of like, you know, I'm interested to see when Luchasaurus turns on Christian Cage. Like that's still a thing and that's cool. Like, and you know, I think in the end, I think that the BCC and the Elite are going to have one hell of a blood and guts match.
Yeah, it's going to be a good match. It's just like, I don't know why this is bothering me so much. I just really wish he would book this shit in order. Like, it just really bugs the shit on me because this is a feud that's decent. That could be great.
Well, to me, the problem with it is you're taking away like eight of your best wrestlers.
Right.
One of your best tag teams. Like, Hangman and Kenny Omega could be doing other things in singles or tags. The Young Bucks could be doing like, and they just put all that on hold for this kind of like really meandering feud that is to the point where it's like, it was a hot cup of coffee and now it's kind of cold and gross, you know?
Exactly.
But again, we're not doing this AEW burial, nor are we going to go past our time. I'm keeping this shit on the tracks. So we're moving on AEW. Their next pay-per-view is later this. I don't even know if it's pay-per-view, but the big thing is Blood and Guts later in July. But WWE went to England and I thought put on a really solid, if not good, live premium event in Money in the Bank.
Yeah. Money in the Bank was very good. I enjoyed it immensely. WWE's, you know, they're kind of hitting on all cylinders right now. Well, for the most part, I shouldn't go too far. But which one do you want to start with? Like, what were some high points for you on that? Besides the obvious that we'll get into.
Yeah. So, I mean, I thought that, yes, there was going to be a lot of disappointment if LA Knight doesn't win.
Yeah.
But I think that he was featured in the match. And I'm not mad about giving that opportunity to Damian Priest, especially if, like, if you're not going to strap LA Knight, like, in some ways, the briefcase works against people.
Yeah. And this is what I was thinking, because of course everybody wanted him to win the briefcase. He's the most over guy in the match. But let's look at the titles where they're at right now, because now that you can cash it in for whatever title you want. So Roman Reigns, it's been well said that he's not dropping that title anytime soon, especially
not to LA Knight.
And he's not dropping it to anyone anytime soon. Gunther, not dropping it to anyone anytime soon. You know, he's tied up in a feud with McIntyre. Spoiler alert. And then the U.S. title is not that good. So it's kind of a waste to cash in Money in the Bank on the U.S. title.
Right. That's Austin Theory's title, right? Yeah. That's his name, Austin Theory. He's still a wrestler. He wrestles in WWE.
And then on top of that, LA Knight doesn't even really need the briefcase. Like, he doesn't need it. And so I say build him up a little bit more. I'm not taking anything away from Damian Priest that we said in a previous episode. That was one of our calls that we're going to have to win the title. The briefcase is going to be either him or LA Knight, or there's one other person. I don't remember.
But yeah, I think we went with, I don't know. We were kind of torn because Logan Paul was like the
wild
celebrity possibility. But yeah.
But the right guy won it. Not that mad about LA Knight. He doesn't lose anything because he had a great showing in the match. And same with like everybody else. The men's Money in the Bank was really good.
It was. It was really good. And like, I also think that, you know, they already have used the briefcase. Flash forward. When Damian Priest brought the briefcase out to the Finn Balor and Seth freaking Rollins match.
Yeah.
Because he could have cashed in on Seth Rollins' title for the World Heavyweight Champion. So they've already used that as a storytelling device to move forward the Judgment Day, which has kind of switched gears and become kind of this like Dominic Mysterio heat magnet with Rhea Ripley. And so now we've reestablished the storyline with Finn Balor and Damian Priest, which I think is really good. And I think once they have a match, it's going to be a good match.
Right.
So definitely that was good. And that was Money in the Bank. So that's kind of, it wasn't the main event, but it's like the deal is right.
The women's Money in the Bank was good.
Io Sky won as she should have.
That's the right person to win.
Yeah.
I liked how they used different things in the Money in the Bank. Like they were creative in the women's Money in the Bank. Let's put it that way.
They had a lot of storylines they threw in there, and just like they were allowed to, it through the course of the match, tell some stories, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I thought that was pretty creative way to do Money in the Bank.
Let me ask you a quick question. Why can't Zoe Stark seems like she should be really good, but she can't ever get traction?
Yeah, she had that injury and now she's like stuck with Trish. She's like the lackey. I know that's supposed to be like getting her foot in the door. I mean, she's out of NXT in a program with a legendary Trish Stratus and Becky Lynch. So that's pretty good for her, you know.
Yeah. But,
so we'll have to see what happens after this feud. So I'm not quite like going to count her out just yet. But because she's in a main feud, and that's pretty good. And she's really good, too.
Yeah. I mean, Money in the Bank, yeah, she is very good. I mean, you know, and maybe there's going to be some more opportunities for her because Rowdy Ronda Rousey is out the fucking door soon. And Shayna Baszler turned on her. We have new women's tag team champions, right. Which the only reason they dropped the title is because Liv Morgan had gotten injured anyways. Right. So everything wrong is right again, thankfully. And then, so we'll see what happens. Like, I do like that storyline. I think they should definitively write Ronda Rousey out, and I don't want to see her again for a long time.
Yeah, I don't want to see her back in the ring, because she's, this to keep it short, because I don't want to talk too much about her. She just never got better. Her second run was worse. And she just, her head's not in the game. Her heart's not in it. And so on all the things that Shayna Baszler said on the Raw after Money in the Bank was what the fans are thinking.
Right.
And so that's just, you did your WWE thing. Let's move along. And, you know, let's leave it to the people that want to be there.
Exactly. And you know who wants to be there? The Usos.
But before we get to the Usos, I just want a quick shout out to the Gunther Matt Riddle match.
Yeah, it was 7 minutes long, though.
I know, but it was more of a Gunther showcase, but it was still good.
Yeah.
It was still good. So, but back now that we can get to this, Usos. We had Cody Rhodes wrestle Dominic, but that wasn't a thing. Let's go back to the Usos versus Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa.
Yes.
And man, that match got 30 minutes.
It did. And it deserved every 30 minutes. I didn't think it was long at all.
No.
Did you
see that coming with Reigns getting pinned?
No. If we would have talked about it, I would have told you that somehow Sikoa takes the pin, the brothers, you know, brother on brother crime,
they
super kick party. Whatever. No. And I think that, like, that's what made it so good.
Exactly. Right?
It was like when Seth Rollins stomped Brock Lesnar and went clean, we were just like,
yeah,
that makes it so much more emphatic.
And I like, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was going to say, like, there was just so much high tension
and
throughout the match. Like,
there's a lot of continuity too, which I appreciated, like the callback with the low blow when Reigns had him pinned after the spear. That was fantastic. That took you back from the first title defense that Roman Reigns did before the bloodline was even formed. So I thought that was just brilliant storytelling. The crowd was hot. Both sides are great. Like, that's just like prime real estate for booking. That's how you book stuff. It's bravo.
100%. And like, I cannot overstate like the culmination of how good the Usos have been for WWE for years now.
Right.
And we make fun, and it's unfortunate. They've had some issues with staying out of trouble outside of the ring, if you will, that has kind of caught them up at times, but it's like, they're good on the mic. They have a new enough style of wrestling, right? They do some high spots, but they can still like chop it up and like do the old school dirty storytelling, character development, nuanced pro wrestling that a lot of us are looking for, you know?
Yeah. I mean, because their style's not the flashiest, and it doesn't need to be. Like, it's just enough. Like, especially now with this storyline coming in, that's like, they've been like the MVPs of this bloodline thing, Jey Uso especially. And I'm just excited to see more. I saw the trial of Roman Reigns earlier before we started recording this, and that was good. It looks like Jey Uso is going to be challenging Roman Reigns for the Undisputed title. So that probably might be a deal at SummerSlam. So we'll be sure to report more on that as we get more details.
Yeah. I'm excited about it. But if you haven't checked out Money in the Bank, it's on Peacock. You should check it out. And if you don't want to like take our word on all the other matches, but I mean, this main event will make it on Match of the Week at some point.
It will. And it was brilliant.
It was. It was just so good. And I do have to say, lastly, like, what a way to protect Sikoa. Like, people are crazy. People are already saying that, Sikoa has to be the one to take the strap off Reigns. I'm like, what are you talking about?
I mean, nah, I'm not even close.
Like, whoa.
Yeah.
But like, they've protected him so much, and they've made him like this, you know, this force. And it always goes both ways, right? because at some point he's going to have to fucking like be on his own.
Yeah.
And the rumors are they're going to put him with Heyman, which is like,
that's perfect. Cause yeah, like, you have to at this point. And yeah, I think that's about it for the first half, unless you had anything else to add.
No, just, I think we did mention it a little bit. They just had the NJPW Strong. They took their style to Japan for the first time and they had some interesting matches going on. But other than that, it's like, it's really hard to focus in on the Ring of Honor and the Impacts and NJPWs and the ECWs and the Millennium Pro Wrestlings and all the other out there. When with these two promotions, we got like fucking 18 hours of programming or 16 hours of programming a week, which is insane.
Exactly. But on that note, we're going to take a quick powder and come back to you with the coolest shit on this side of the Mississippi. Or on the other side of the pillow. Mm-hmm. Uso!
Yeah, Ayos, let's welcome these folks to the Uso Penitentiary. Hey, let's get it, Oos. It's not paranoia, it's the Uso.
Once again, we're back with your favorite segment, my favorite segment, Bobby's favorite segment, and the Dark Lord's favorite segment. What do we like to call it?
Cool shit, son.
And cool shit always starts off with
the motherfucking mailbag.
And we got a doozy for you this week, so let's get into it.
Yes, indeed. First one up, Demon Knight.
Repeat question asker.
Ooh. I agreed with most of your guys' Forbidden Door review, but don't you think Punk would have been better off facing Kenta instead of Kojima? Is there something I missed where Kenta couldn't make it, or am I just overthinking things?
Mr. or Ms. Knight, it's what I put in here. It's all about the money. They couldn't get the money together. These guys got to get paid. And, you know, they don't care about what we want to see. They got to fill up their bank accounts and stack their chips.
Yeah, and don't pretend. Understand, like, Kent is definitely going to have to get paid if he's going to job for fucking CM Punk.
Yeah.
And at this point in their career, CM Punk can't wrestle with Kenta.
And like, Kenta's the one that invented the go to sleep.
Yeah, it seemed to me like it was a lot of innuendo and rumors. And I'm glad when Kenta put that shit to sleep.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, and here's the thing, like, I think people have gotten spoiled to think that now that they're doing the Forbidden Door, everybody wants to wrestle everybody. And it's like, that's not the case. Like,
that's not it. Like, there's travel things, there's issues, there's stuff with other promotions. Like,
there's stuff with other wrestlers. Like,
yeah, it's kind of sticky going through a interpromotional pay-per-view and to make things all run all smooth. And the thing is, yeah, like you put it, like, do we really want to see Kenta and CM Punk now? Like, CM Punk, I don't think he has the chops that he did, like, 5 years ago at the least. Like, if this was 5 years ago, perhaps. But I just, CM Punk, not as good as in the ring as I remembered him, and that's not his fault. That's due to age and not being in the ring for over 8 years. So it's, I wouldn't want to see it right now. So it doesn't even matter to me.
Yeah, and again, like, Tony Khan has a number he's probably willing to pay, and Kent had a number that he needed to do the job, and those were different numbers. So
exactly.
All right. Next. I believe this is a Swift fan. I believe that is one of the dragons from How You Train a Dragon. The Swift fan.
I think it says T Swift fan. So this is a Taylor Swift fan. There's a T in there.
Yeah, but if you put a T S together, it often makes just this the like S sound. But anyways, what they are asking is, Dominic Mysterio has been a big heat magnet since his turn on Rey, and it seems to be increasing. My question to you guys is, do you see him as being a main event heel? I mean, you can't ignore the reactions. Is this legit? Thanks for taking my question. No.
Not right now. No.
No, he's not a main event heel. Yes, oftentimes you can't ignore the reactions unless you want to just totally ruin someone's career, in which WWE has done that. And is it legit? I think it's legit. I don't think there's a world that I foresee that you can somehow write Dom to be a face in any like near future. I mean, punchable face.
He was getting no reaction. The only time I don't count the reaction with him and Ray, because that's mostly for Ray. And the heat, I think it's go away heat, but heat is heat in wrestling. It doesn't matter if it's go away heat or not. But like, he's good in the ring. He can talk on the mic. He's not bad on the mic. Like, I just think he needs to put some size on just slightly. But like, going to be a main event heel, that's years from now. Like, I don't see that anytime soon. We still got Gunther. We still got Reigns, even though he's on borrowed time. LA Knight could be a top heel, even though he's getting cheered. Like, there's other people that are waiting in the wings. If we're talking like
reaction. Gunther, Sokoa, like,
yeah.
A Bron Breakker heel run. Maybe that's
Bron Breakker, because his heel run is fantastic right now in NXT. So there's a lot of heels. I mean, WWE is very heel heavy. Like, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but I as Dominic being a main event heel, not yet. That's what I'm going to say.
No, he's more of like a valet, a valet for Rhea Ripley at this point.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Which isn't a bad place to be.
No, you know, he's in a main program. Not everybody.
He's on TV every night.
Not everyone program, can be like, in the main event. Like, he's on TV every week.
I know. Like, it's like, it'd be like somebody telling, like, you know, shit. Like, I just think of all these, like, oh, you know, sorry, Kelsey Grammer, you suck because you're on Cheers because of Woody Harrelson. It's like, no, motherfucker, I'm on Cheers, bro. On
Cheers,
like,
yeah.
I'm on Cheers, yeah. I'm not the guy behind the bar, but like, my paycheck is good. I'm on TV.
Exactly.
So I think he's exactly where he needs to be, and they're doing exactly what they can do with him. And, you know, I think the worst case scenario is they're going to come back and have some sort of reconciling with Ray, and they're going to bring him into the LWO,
and then
I'll shit on that when it happens.
Yeah.
All right. Next question up from my main man, Keep It Frosty. I thought Forbidden Door had its moments, but you guys failed to mention that there were so many spots with guys chopping each other back and forth. I just thought it was overkill throughout the event. What did you guys think?
You know, like, I noticed that too, and I agree with you. Like, I to me, if that spot was in one match, that'd be fine, but it was in every single match. And the thing is that we don't want to turn this into like a review show. So, cause we got like other shit to like come by. So we want to like just hit the high spots and like get the hell out of there. But yeah, like way too much chopping. Like I don't like it. I think it looks lame. Like just letting each other chop each other back and forth. I agree, Frosty.
Yeah, man. But also like just when you have a bunch of over the fucking hill washed wrestlers, like they don't move as good as their knees. Like we saw it with a lot of these guys, you know, when you're trying to make these dream matches that we all wanted 10 years ago, sometimes what you're going to get is a bunch of chops and like, you know, again, I think we all need to temper our expectations of what Forbidden Door actually means. Like,
yeah, but like the thing is you got to have some like kind of thing, like, you know, if you want to have a spot like that, that's totally fine. But again, TK has got to be like, okay, these guys are doing the spot and nobody else can do this. Like there was a time when Chris Jericho was wrestling a match. I forget where it was. Oh, it was a New Japan match. And he had the match start in the aisle way. And then he did a spot on the aisle. And he's like, nobody do this spot either because it takes away from it. After you've seen the fucking fifth pair of dudes like chopping each other back and forth, it gets old. It gets old after the first one. So it's just like, this is just like shit that Tony Khan doesn't see or doesn't care to even see. And he just does it because he pops the crowd of marks. And that's what it is.
Yeah. How much control do you think these wrestlers have in doing these matches, though?
I think they have more control than they should have.
And it's probably not TK. It's probably
It is TK for allowing them to do it, though.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you're trying to get these names, like, I don't know, Naito and shit. It's like, what is he fucking going to do?
I mean, he's got to do better than that, because I've seen Naito
play the. When?
Like,
how recently?
Well, not recently, but shit.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. But you know what? The Alchemist has a good question. We're going to keep this truck moving, because you got to hit every mailbox every day when you're a mailman. You can't slack off. So the Alchemist wants to know, Elon Musk just put limitations on how many tweets you can view throughout the day. I think this is pretty ridiculous, because I do a lot of promotion for my business on the platform. I just want to know how you guys think this will affect wrestlers and the wrestling industry moving forward. This is a really interesting and good question. The Alchemist, what I would say is you should be finding other channels to promote your business, because Twitter is not a guaranteed thing in the next 3 months, 9 months, 12 months. You know, he paid $44 billion for it. He debt financed it with some people who have been known to dismember journalists, for instance, because the Saudi Wealth Fund, which Elon Musk has no problem with, despite the fact that he is a free speech absolutionist, I guess, for him. But
for him.
You know, I think it's going to impact some of these wrestlers. I think a lot of these wrestlers have been moving, and I think a lot of creative people in general have already been moving to other kind of more community-based platforms. But I think that as they throttle more of Twitter, and what Elon Musk is really doing is he's trying to extract value out of users versus giving value to users. And I think it's just become a more difficult platform to really get, you know, for what you're doing, promotions, right? Like, you want engaged people who are interested in what your company's doing. I don't know what it is, but it's like, I feel that Twitter is going to become more of, like, I don't know. It just seems like it's a debate platform now. It's like,
it's trash.
That's yeah, what I mean, that's really what it is.
It's trash. And the thing is, spoiler alert, there's other platforms that are out there right now, or another platform that we'll be covering in the next couple questions.
Yeah, but I would say, and you probably see this too, though, the wrestling industry is like, my Instagram has a lot of wrestling content.
Same.
You know, and one thing that I think Instagram has done really well, because I also run a profile dedicated to barbecuing, is once they understand who you're trying to communicate and see, like, that's put in front of you. And Instagram has a lot of really great business tools that you can use to advertise and promote that way. I mean, the reality is like, Twitter's daily users is dropping. If you are running promotions, you want to get your promotions to as many people as possible. And Twitter may not be the place to do that. And also, I know a lot of wrestlers have already moved over. A lot of them have Twitch streams. A lot of them, I mean, Twitter is just a place they can just post and run. You know, a lot of them are like, hey, I answer questions on this platform or whatever, you know? So I think in the end, they will leave and Twitter will be worse for it. All right. Thank God. Sami Zayn, finally, he kept telling me he was going to put a question in. He finally did, because we know he is keeping it oozy. Love your guys' show, especially the walkout music section, being that I've found a few new bands to listen to. My question is, what finishers do you think are the most protected, like either never kicked out of or kicked out of like once, maybe twice?
Declarative statement, everything is flowing with this question.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's keeping it oozy. So, top of the list, most protected, because they made a big deal about it, One Ring Angel.
Yep. End of Days,
Baron Corbin, right?
Yep.
What
else is there? I'm trying to think of some of the Judas Effect.
Yeah.
The Judas Effect, unfortunately. What else is there? I'm trying to think of the last pay-per-view. Well, the Spear's not very protected.
Well, that's what I was just thinking is like both Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns, you know, when you think of people who probably should have some really like formidable, and maybe it's because they make each other wrestle each other. So they kick out of
their stuff. Yeah. Those are the main ones, honestly, because everything else is like, not too many people kick out of the Styles Clash, but he doesn't really do that anymore.
No.
What about the Stomp?
But he's got to hit three of them sometimes.
That's true. Same with the Crossroads.
Yeah. I'm trying to think.
Riptide, Rhea Ripley's move. Nobody really kicks out of that.
No. That one's a good one. I don't really think about the women's.
Let me see.
What about tag? Is there tag team finishers?
Yeah, there's...
what does FTR do?
They do the what's that called? The big rig or the shatter machine, whatever they're calling it. That's a pretty good one. Or the indie take the Meltzer driver that the Young Bucks do.
Yeah.
That doesn't get kicked out of too much.
What? That's like an elevated Canadian destroyer.
No, it's where like Matt holds him in the tombstone position. And then Nick does the flip off the top rope, like the springboard flip, and then like kind of spikes them.
Got it.
Yeah.
What is Adam Cole's? He just does a Canadian destroyer.
No, Adam Cole's is the boom. Oh, he does either the Panama Sunrise, or then there's the boom, the knee to the back of the head.
Yeah.
That one, the knee to the back of the head, nobody really kicks out of. Panama Sunrise.
He's already done the Panama Sunrise before.
Yeah, exactly. People kick out of that one a lot.
Yeah, there's not a lot of protected finishers.
No, the main ones I would say is the ones we named at the beginning, the One-Winged Angel and the End of Days.
Well, yeah, because so much recently has just been spam finishers in some of these, you know.
Oh, yeah, it's gross.
Yeah, I think that's it, man. That's a good question, though.
I like that question.
All right, last question from Robert Threads Beast B. First time questioner, long time listener. You guys are on fire. You guys are fire on social media. What do you think of Threads so far? Well, it's funny you ask because we're both on Threads. And if you want to, you can actually follow us and interact with Threads. Luckily, if you're already following us on Instagram, all you have to do is sign up for Threads. Yeah. We're already there for you. It is a Twitter-like environment. That we can interact with. And I'm trying to do some different things on it. Today I posted a reject from Get Rid of One that isn't quite good enough to make the cut. I'm just going to try to do some different things and really kind of embrace the opportunity to have like a new place to go and talk about wrestling that isn't like a dystopian racist hellscape.
Yeah.
You know, and doesn't like, you know, I mean, and I'm all about it. I think Zuckerberg and Facebook have done enough damage to our country for sure, but it's a better product for me. And I'm down for him and Elon to jujitsu that shit up and see who can choke out who.
All right. So let's get on to before we get on to that. So speaking of all the social media, we'd be remiss if we didn't tell you where you could locate us exactly in case you still don't know. You can find me on Instagram and Threads under Xander Hobbs. That's XANDER_HOBBES. Bobby, where can they find you?
I'm WrestleOcalypse on Instagram and Threads, spelled like it sounds, but you know that because you're already listening to this nice little podcast on cool shit. And we appreciate everybody who does interact with us. So we'll see where all that goes.
Make sure you're tuning into this, though. Make sure when you're tuning into this, you download the episode, give us a follow, rate the show, tell us what you like, tell us what you dislike, because we're really trying to get the ball moving on this.
Yeah, for sure, for sure, for sure. I picked the match of the week. We had talked about it previously, which is all. If you listen to the show regularly, you will see. We embrace the continuity that we admire from good wrestling, right? And so we talked about it before, and we came back to it. We've got a Tyler Black. Many of you know him as Seth Rollins.
That's
versus
right.
AJ Styles from 2006. It's available on Daily Motion. And I don't even think this was with a promotion, being that it looks to be in a high school auditorium. But it, you already see, like, it's really cool. AJ Styles is still, is already so fucking good.
Right.
And he looks the part. And Tyler Black, Seth Rollins, God, he must be what, 170 pounds dripping wet in that match?
Oh, yeah, like, for sure.
He is so skinny, but he already has like all this skill.
Yeah, Tyler Black, or when Seth Rollins was Tyler Black, he was always really good. Like there was just like a couple things that were missing from him, from his repertoire, that like didn't quite get him to where he is now. But I digress. This match was a gem, and I still can't believe that it was in a high school gym with what, like 60 people there?
There was just like people sitting on the stage, like not even in chairs, just like sitting and watching it in this on a, like, it was just bonkers because, like, I don't know, 2006 is obviously 17 years ago, but it doesn't feel that long ago.
No. And Seth, or not Seth Rollins, but AJ Styles was, he was on his way to being like a pretty established name by 2006. He was already wrestling in TNA. And yeah, people knew who he was, which is why it's like boggles my mind how this didn't get more fans in the gym that they were at. Maybe it was poorly promoted. I don't know. But it's a match that I suggest that you see, like, very well done, very well executed. I'm glad you picked that one, Bobby, because that was really good.
Yeah, one of the funny things is we were kind of watching it together and we were texting, and like there were moments when I was like, man, this camera dude's better than the guys in AEW. Like,
oh, for sure.
You know, the way he was able to kind of pan out, and like I was like, man, it was like, it's for a high school gym. It's like, it's a really good match. And then obviously knowing where both these guys end up being, which is like top fucking main eventers for the largest wrestling promotion in history. Like, it's just really, really good.
I agree. You should check it out. It's on Daily Motion. Just type in Tyler Black versus AJ Styles, 4/28/2006, and that'll bring you home.
Yes, it will. All right, we're moving on and moving up. Time is going to get the best of us, but we're going to move through this. So you have been watching Ultimate Fighter still, right?
Yep, Ultimate Fighter season 31 with Conor McGregor, who is now 0-6. On the series. I thought the last match was funny because the guy was winning and he ended up getting tapped out and Conor just dropped to his knees. I thought it was very funny. And then we're going back and watching Ultimate Fighter season 20, where this one's different, where it's the women's strawweight division, but the winner of that becomes a strawweight champion. And Rose Namajunas, how do you pronounce her name? Thug Rose pretty much is on that, and she's just tearing shit up. She's the only one that won for her team, and we're at right about at the finale. And then ran back seasons of The Office. We caught on Comedy Central. It's a favorite of mine. I haven't seen it in a while. Cool mockumentary. You should know what it's about. Bobby's not the biggest fan, but it's worth checking out.
Yeah, but that was one of the I couldn't think of his name, but it's like going back to like, oh, it's like Rainn Wilson. Yeah, he's not Steve Carell, but he's on the fucking Office.
Right.
Right? Like, he's doing good.
No, for sure.
I was thinking about that. That was one of the things I wanted to use, but I couldn't remember Rainn Wilson's name. All I remember was
Dwight.
Yeah, so I'm watching the show called American Recipe. It's on PBS. It's done by the Great British Bake Off people. It's just an American-style cooking show where you got to, like, you can bring certain things from your home and you're trying to make family recipes and whatnot. They're all home bakers, so that's cool. We started running back the Mythbusters season 1, episode 1 from 2003. Just really cool to watch how, like, I think if you've watched Mythbusters or watched any kind of these science shows nowadays, it's like you take all the shit for granted. They're like, here's our ballistic dummy, here's our super slow-mo camera, and like, this is the show that like brought all that shit to the mainstream. Like, we watched an episode today where they're trying to make a ballistic dummy and it totally goes wrong and Adam ruins it. It's like, cause they were doing shit that hadn't been done before. Really cool. Awesome. The Prodigy really likes it, which is good. I'm always trying to get her into any science and math type shit. Cause you know, that's the thing that we have to do as parents these days. And then lastly, Project Runway. We just caught the latest episode again. It's so good. Just nice, creative, lots of challenges. The judges are savage. The contestants will turn on each other like turning on the runway or something like that. So that's about it, really. And then, not really any sports going on. So clear the deck for that.
Yeah, man. I used to be a big Project Runway like head back in the day.
I know Christian Siriano is now the like mentor. He's taking over the Tom Gunn role.
Yeah, that's what you told me. I think that's really cool because he just annihilated his season. I know I said that in the past, but
yeah. And this year it's All Stars. So his roommate from that season is on the show. There's a girl from the first season. I mean, not a girl, a woman, a designer from the first one. So this one has been really good.
Nice.
And, I miss Heidi. Nobody could be like Heidi, as just savage and emotionless and just as Nordic as Heidi Klum. So, but they do a good job. They have some good guest judges and stuff. So it's fun. But all right, moving on, getting rid of one.
Oh, I got a good one for you today. I hope it's a good one, but I thought about this on my drive home from work. Because I've had the Spotify machine playing in shuffle. So all my 10,000 songs are shuffling. I've been hearing a lot of stuff that like I haven't heard in a while. So we're going to get rid of one second singer that made the band popular again. So the band had an original singer. They brought in another one and kind of like revived their careers. So does that make sense?
So am I getting rid of the one I like the least?
You're going to get rid of the one you like the least.
Okay, perfect.
It's going to be classic. Classic. Get rid of one classic. All right. So first singer, are we getting rid of George Corpse Grinder Fisher from Cannibal Corpse, who replaced Chris Barnes? Are we getting rid of Brian Johnson from AC/DC, who replaced Bon Scott? Are we getting rid of Ronnie James Dio from Black Sabbath, who replaced Ozzy Osbourne? Or are we getting rid of Bruce Dickinson from Iron Maiden, who replaced Paul Di'Anno? I know that was a lot. That was a lot of information to absorb.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm not getting rid of Ronnie James Dio. I'm not getting rid of Corpse Grinder because I think Corpse Grinder's, I didn't necessarily realize he wasn't always the lead singer. No. I'm not as big a Cannibal Corpses fan as you, but like, so then it comes down to Bruce and the third singer. No, the second singer. See, this is the weird thing with AC/DC. So Angus was the guitar player.
Angus and Malcolm Young were the guitar players. Bon Scott was the original singer. He died. He got replaced by Brian Johnson.
That's right.
When I was Back in Black.
I think I'm getting rid of Bruce Dickinson.
Oh man, nice reasons.
Because I really, really like the first album of Iron Maiden better than all the other albums.
Okay.
And I can't say that about any of the other ones. Like Back in Black is, I'm not a big AC/DC fan, but Back in Black is like,
that's classic.
That's the one. It's got the doom, doo-doo-doom, doo-doo-doom, doo-doo-doo-doom. So it's like, and then like I told you, Corpse Grinder is basically who I associate with Cannibal Corpse.
Yeah.
And then you fucking like, I don't give a shit who Ronnie James Dio follows. That dude is always invited.
Yeah, for sure. Ronnie James Dio is not getting kicked out of much. Like,
no, and he's better than Ozzy in a lot of ways.
Oh, he's way better than Ozzy Osbourne.
It's is it objective? Like, objectively, he's like, but yeah. You know, subjectively, obviously, Ozzy's got all of his fans and whatever his notoriety, but. So I'm going with Bruce Dickinson, although like I don't hate on, you know, his albums or what he did with Iron Maiden, but like their first album is my favorite for sure.
It's a good, the first two albums are with
Killers is fucking
Killers is great. It's a great album. I like all these guys and I'm fans of all these bands. So, and there was a lot of other like bands I could have gone with, you know, but like I hate
David Lee Roth.
I hate Van Hagar. That would have been too easy. Like I don't I like a couple Sammy songs, but I don't like that. And then Pantera, Phil Anselmo is actually the second singer, but everybody correlates Phil Anselmo with Pantera. Nobody knows who the other guy is.
Yeah.
And then there's Pink Floyd with like that one. I don't really like Pink Floyd, so I don't care. And then there's Anthrax. But anyways, I'm getting off on a tangent. Who am I getting rid of, though? That's the question. This is hard. Because I do love Killers a lot, but I also like Power Slave and Number of the Beast and, you know, shit like that. And what a seamless, like, kind of like transition that AC/DC made, because they didn't lose a beat with Brian Johnson. Like, so, but still, I got to get rid of somebody. And there's more Iron Maiden albums I like with Bruce Dickinson than Brian Johnson, so I'm getting rid of Brian Johnson.
Okay, that's fair. I would say that you like every album he did with the band.
With Brian Johnson?
Yeah.
I don't like every single album that Brian Johnson did, just like I don't like every single album that Bruce Dickinson did.
Okay.
What was the confusion?
No, I just like... I thought that Bruce Dickinson came in on their third album.
Yeah, he did. What did I mess up?
Oh, I just thought you liked the first two Iron Maiden albums.
I do like the first two Iron Maiden albums. But
right, which for Iron Maiden, that's 100% of the ones that Brian Johnson sung on.
Brian Johnson sang on like so many albums. Bon Scott sang on like so many albums. Like, I don't get it. I'm confused. I'm literally confused.
No, I must be. I am the one confused. I believe that Brian Johnson, as the lead singer of
AC/DC.
Oh no, I'm sorry, I'm getting my names wrong. No. I'm talking about the lead singer of Iron Maiden.
Bruce Dickinson.
No, the first one.
Paul Di'Anno.
Yes. You like all of Paul Di'Anno's
albums, yes.
And not all of Bruce Dickinson's albums.
No.
100% versus less than 100%. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
I just got my names confused.
If you gave me all of Brian Johnson's AC/DC catalog and you gave me all of Bruce Dickinson's Iron Maiden catalog, I'm going to go with the Iron Maiden catalog. Is that more clear?
No. I misunderstood. I messed this all up, but this is fine.
Okay, that's fine. I understand.
I got it.
It's all right.
I know. You love the way that he runs and does his hayas off of those.
I do like those jump kicks with his derelict pants.
I mean, like, also, you have to have somebody 5 feet tall to have the longevity of Bruce Dickinson.
That's very true.
He's like a small dog. You know, he's going to be like physically.
He's going to live forever. Die,
right?
Yeah.
So, but I like all of them and I do like all the bands and I like albums from everybody.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't necessarily. I have to go back and look at the Cannibal Corpse catalog.
Corpse Grinder smokes Chris Barnes, so like I just think they were the one that like just went through the moon. Now everybody associates Corpse Grinder with Cannibal Corpse more than Chris Barnes. So
right.
All right, but now that we've had all this music talk, this is a precursor to us walking out to the ring. So what are you coming out to?
I'm coming out to a song called Amen featuring Little Uzi Vert and Daryl Palumbo of, some people say Glassjaw, I say Head Automatica, obviously.
Yes.
But it's a band called Bring Me the Horizon.
Oh, nice. I've heard stuff about this, but I haven't heard the song.
Yeah. Betty Rebel found it for me. She's been using she's got like a sultry voiced AI DJ working for her on her Spotify now, and so he introduced this to her and the song I did last week, the Falling in Reverse song. So it's good. It's got the like it's just got a lot going on. Daryl Palumbo, he's got some good, he's got a very recognizable voice, the way he sings. So that's good. And it's good. So I like it. I hope you like it. We can check it out now.
I hope you have fun.
So there you go.
Nice.
So you've heard of the band Bring Me the Horizon before?
Yeah, I listened to those guys.
Okay.
Yeah, I just haven't gotten around to listening to the song with Lil Uzi Vert. I know he's doing a lot of stuff for different bands.
Yeah, it seems that way, huh?
Yeah. So I'm coming out to something a little different. I found this guy on my YouTube feed, and I especially liked this track because it was entitled If the Misfits Sang Girls Want to Have Fun. Girls Just Want to Have Fun. It's by this band called O2. It's this guy who does all the music. It's spelled O-T-U. You can find him on Instagram, Spotify, YouTube. This is a plug. But it's pretty cool. It's a cover of Girls Just Want to Have Fun, but like saying like with a Misfits vibe. I thought it was really interesting. And I think it'd be cool if like a heel woman came out to it. Like it'd be a cool song. And enough about me. You can listen to it right now. Yep, and you can find this, Bobby's track, the interlude and outro, and all the interludes and outros and walkout musics on our newest playlist. What's it called?
It's called, WrestleOclipse 2023, Songs to Swanton 2.
You can also find that on Spotify, and you can download that and listen to it. I listened to it the other weekend while I was at work, and it's got some great songs. I really dug those songs by The Heavy. I'm really getting into that band. Those guys are really good, and I think I want to go to see them next time they come out here live.
Well, we will probably be going, and you should, because they bring the energy for sure. It is a really good playlist, and just got my... I'm going to give everybody a little bit of preview. Next week is my Get Rid of One. I think we're going to do Washed Wrestlers.
Washed Wrestlers. I like it.
Who are still wrestling. So make sure you do your research on all the washed wrestlers still wrestling. But those are our walkout musics. Like Xander said, you can find them on the playlist. But we are in the ring. I'm glazed up with some nice, some spray sheen. I've been doing I do pull-ups now to get the extra pump. The resistance bands weren't doing it for me. So we are ready, and we are inside the ring, and we are picking it up. We're going to do a better time than last week. We're skipping an episode, so check that other episode out. But we're talking about Doink the Clown episode of Dark Side of the Ring.
This is the one I was looking forward to like the most. Well, this one and then the Marty Jannetty one, but I'm getting ahead of myself. Doink the Clown, aka Matt Bourne, was a wrestler back in the territories. He wrestled what territory did they say he wrestled in? Like Mid-South?
He dressed a lot. He did mid-south, mid-Atlantic, and some Pacific Northwest. And he was a second generation wrestler.
That's right. And so he didn't really get his catch. He's the son of Tony Bourne, and he didn't really catch his big break until, well, I remember watching him in WCW as Big Josh, and I hated him, but I was just a kid at the time. But then he came out with Doink the Clown. And under your first impressions of Doink the Clown, what did you think, like, as one you were watching as a kid?
He was just like, as a kid, we were just inundated with scary fucking clowns, right?
Right.
So he was instant heat. It was like, I'm all about, you know, Hogan and Ultimate Warrior, and Doink the Clown was a little too much for me.
Yeah, and I remember when, before he even like debuted in the ring, he would he'd like play these pranks against like kids like sitting in the aisle and stuff like that, like spraying him with the like flower and the rose and stuff like that. But apparently I thought he was really good in the ring, and I thought that character was ahead of its time. Like, you know, say what you want about clowns and stuff, but like the evil clown gimmick is like, that's classic.
Yeah, it was. And it's crazy because like this story really like shows like the fast and loose way Vince really treated talent. And they were willing to put up with so much stuff, and they didn't really give a shit about the well-being of the talent, you know?
Right.
I mean, they fired him twice, WWF. Like, and then, you know, so he had a really good run as Doink the Clown.
He had a good run. Like, he was at WrestleMania 9. He had one of the more memorable matches at WrestleMania 9 against Crush. I remember watching that pay-per-view as a kid, and like he kept going under the ring, and then the referee, of course there was a ref bump, and then the referee gets knocked out, and then another Doink comes out, and then they're doing the whole pantomime thing in the middle of the ring, and he ends up winning the match. I just thought, looking back on it as a kid, I hated it. And looking back on it, I think it's brilliant. Right. They did it. They did its job. And I think that character had like way more legs than it allowed. But like, of course, with a lot of these stories, Matt Bourne couldn't get out of his own way.
Yeah. Again. And, you know, it was interesting. After they fired him for the last time, they kept running other people out in the Doink costume.
Yeah.
Because they knew it had more legs. But like,
oh, yeah.
The problem is, right, and with wrestling we've talked about, it's like the best part is when the best wrestling characters are when you don't know where the wrestler begins, where the act begins and the person ends, right?
Exactly.
And unfortunately for Doink the Clown, that appears to be true as well. And it was really destructive, obviously, the drug use and everything. And then he went to ECW, which is not a place you go to be an uplifting character. So you take an already dark character, you make him darker. I know that, you know, with his whole history, you know, there is this, you know, and they talk about it in this episode, like whether his death was accidental or if there was foul play.
Right. That's the part I remember, like, because he was a wild man. Like he ran his stuff, but apparently, according to his daughter, I think who it was.
Yeah.
She thinks there was some foul play, and that, like, what was it? The girlfriend that offed him, she thinks, or something like that. Was that how it went?
Yeah. So the daughter feels that the girl that he was living with killed him, because the story is basically like, you know, somebody said that Matt was unconscious in the hallway, so she brought him inside. She woke about 6:30 and checked on him, and he was gurgling.
That's right.
Went back to bed, and then at 9, woke up and said he had died.
Right.
So his daughter is claiming that Connie killed him.
Right. The gurgling is what's called the death rattle, but a lot of people don't know that. And that's when you can't clear the secretions, and you're pretty much dying. But wouldn't you think that she would call 911 if she heard like gurgling or something like that, right?
Well, obviously her story is a little bit different. She says that the police report is wrong. She called 911 right after she called her friend and that she was trying to save him. And here's the thing. When they did the autopsy, his heart was 6 times the size it should have been. Like,
right.
There's a good chance she could not have saved him, or calling 911 at that point would have saved him either.
True.
That's not a doctor, but I'm just saying 6 times big, gurgling, like you said. It's like when I heard gurgling, it reminded me of when they were talking about Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah. That's what made me think of. Yeah, that's usually the sign that things are going downhill quick. So just something, a little lesson to learn, you guys out there listening to this. But Dwight the Clown, really good character, very ahead of its time. WWE doing the creepy thing with the evil clown. Matt Bourne, great talent behind the mask, gone too soon, as most of these guys do. I thought it was a really good episode. What'd you think about it?
Yeah, I thought it was good. It was sad, but not in like not like some of the other ones. I enjoyed hearing Mick Foley kind of remember how good Matt Bourne was. You know, sometimes it's what stinks. Like these shows, they kind of talk about the wrestling, but it's just on the way to this like tragic story. And like, sometimes maybe you should do a little bit more about actually really like providing context to how good some of these lesser known wrestlings or the impact some of these lesser known wrestlers had. And I like this episode because I think Mick Foley really did that well.
Yeah. They didn't focus so much on the salaciousness. Like they told some stories, but like it was more like of how good he was in the ring, which is, I liked the focus on that as well.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And I think that's probably one of my one critiques about the show, and I you know, I'm not in the rooms or anything like that, but you know, it's like, that's one reason I really like that one about the match in Korea, because there was nothing salacious. It was just like, this happened and it's super interesting, and we have the people who made it happen and were there, and you're going to learn about it and get that perspective, you know. I feel like this one was more like that than like focusing just on the like the tragedies, you know.
Agreed.
And I do have to say, the Ocho, great narrator.
No, yeah, I'm not mad at that.
He's got a voice for television, man.
He sure does. But since we can't top that, yours truly, Xander Hobbs.
Ours truly in this life, Bobby B.
And once again, we're reminding you all to show empathy, respect the planet and animals, and support the WrestleLocalypse.
And follow us on Threads. Booyakasha.